You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
There is something magnetic about people who don't just wait for the table to be set, but bring their chairs, flip the menu, and then design the room with a view. That's what tonight's guests are doing. Thabo Ntsewane and Tich Guana aren't just running an agency. What they are running is a movement. At the helm of the Alvy Gordon Advertising Group, they've decided that if Africa is going to tell her story, then she deserves better production value. From Soweto to Lusaka, Joburg to Windhoek, they're building bold brands with roots in insight, culture, and that distinctly Southern African pulse. But don't get it twisted. This isn't just about catchy lines and polished reels. What they are giving us is creative sovereignty. They are winning tenders and trust and refusing to outsource identity. They've dared to believe that black brilliance doesn't need to be softened, diluted, or toned down to sell. And the results? Well, campaigns that hit, messaging that moves, and strategies that stick. So if you've ever wondered what it takes to build an agency that doesn't just compete, but redefines the terms of the game, then don't even think of logging off. Because tonight, we're talking about building the kind of creative empire where both the client and the continent win. And in true Wednesday fashion, we're not just profiling entrepreneurs here, we're pulling out the blueprint. Let's go. Thabo, Tich, hey gents.
Hey. Hi, Pumi.
How's it going?
Wow, Pumi.
All good, all good.
That was amazing. What an introduction. My goodness.
You're welcome.
What am I doing here?
Maybe I should be maybe I should be in the marketing agency marketing you guys.
You know what I mean? Yeah, listen, I'm thinking it's time to reassess your career.
Okay. I'll give you my number. Let's talk after this.
Absolutely amazing. Thank you so much for having us over.
It's such a pleasure. It's such a pleasure. Listen, we're going to start with a game. And I'm calling this game, well, it's a famous game, This or That, but this is the creative edition. So how we'll do it is I'll give the first This or That, and Tish will go first, Thabo will go next, and then we'll just alternate like that so that we're not speaking over each other. Cool?
Perfect.
Cool.
Sounds good. Just a quick one.
Yeah.
Are you hearing feedback from my side?
Not really. Are you guys still hearing it?
Yeah, no, we can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, cool. So, Tish, this one is for you. Billboard or bus stop ad?
Sorry, say that again?
Billboard or bus stop ad?
Billboard.
Tell us why.
Just more from an eyeball perspective.
Okay.
And also depending on the placement of the board, what you'll find is if it's placed on the right road, and I'll say road, with high traffic, there's a very high chance of people seeing a billboard as opposed to seeing a bus stop ad.
Got you. Thabo, the pitch that flopped or the pitch that scared you silly but landed?
It's a very
That's a tough one.
My goodness. So the pitch that flopped or the pitch that landed
but scared you silly
but scared me silly
mm.
Okay, I'll go with the pitch that landed.
Why is that?
Scared me silly. Okay, should I elaborate?
Yes.
All right, so I think we were going for BP at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It was probably about four years ago, and I mean, I remember we had worked on a strategy pitch or strategy document, which subsequently changed overnight. Like I think we probably walked out of the office at 1 a.m. in the morning.
You?
And then when I got home, I think I only went to bed around 4 a.m. changing the entire thing. And then when we got to, I think our pitch slot was around 11, It was myself and I think Titch was busy with another client at the time. So it was myself and another account director of ours. So just the two of us, and before us was one of the big agencies, and they're walking out, and it's like an eight-man team.
Sure.
So we're coming in, just the two of us,
yeah,
in a boardroom of about 20,
oh no,
you know, sort of clients, right? BP, I guess the panelists, right?
Mm.
Of about 20. Yeah, I must say that was an overwhelming moment. I mean, it was it was scary to say the least. But I think yeah, how we did it, Jeepers, I can't even begin to tell you. We actually subsequently went and won that pitch.
Mm.
Yeah.
If God be for us, who can be against us?
You know what I mean? Exactly. Exactly. You know, I mean, some things just happen beyond our understanding.
Yeah.
It can only be God's hand.
Yeah. Titch, this one's for you. Creative freedom with no budget or a massive budget with a nitpicky client?
Creative freedom with no budget.
What happens to you when a client is nitpicky?
20 million words, frustrated creative team.
It's not worth it.
Creative freedom, definitely creative freedom.
Okay.
For most people in the industry, creatives alike,
yeah,
that's probably heaven for them. Just having the creative freedom to kind of bring a brand's identity to life.
That makes sense. That makes sense to me. I'll end with this one. I had a couple more, but I'll end this with this one because I do want to pick your brains. Thabo, TikTok or TV?
You know, it'd have to be TikTok.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think right now digital is certainly on demand.
Mm.
You know, and I mean, I'm saying TV just from the fact that, or rather, digital or TikTok for the mere fact that, you know, you're able to watch what you want on demand,
mm,
right? As opposed to adhering to a particular schedule, right, and waiting for a program to play.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, obviously TikTok can expand to YouTube, can expand to, you know, other sort of digital platforms.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, I think in my household, Jeepers, I can't remember the last time we actually watched TV.
I was about to say, people don't watch TV like that anymore.
Absolutely.
Sure.
You watch what you want when you want.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
And the reach is just so far much greater.
100%.
Mm.
100%.
You know, yeah.
I mean, it certainly has given a lot of opportunity to, you know, content creators, you know, non-traditional content creators, to actually come on the fore, you know, and actually have a platform for themselves.
Yeah.
And garner a following.
And in terms of how much you spend on either platform, is TV more expensive than TikTok?
I mean, on my side, you know, I mean, obviously when we're talking TV specifically, we're talking, what, DSTV,
mm-hmm,
right? So I would say, I mean, you know, looking at, are you asking specifically about TikTok?
No, I'm just asking when you think about it, when you look at it holistically, which one ends up being more of a spend than the other?
More the spend from a consumer point of view or from the content creator?
Content creator or from you guys, the agency?
Look, I mean, I think from us, certainly, you know, TikTok is a lot more cost effective. Digital has always been more cost effective, you know, given the fact that, you know, you're obviously able to, you know, geolocate and be very specific with your targeting, right?
Mm.
As opposed to putting out content, having a slight idea of who you're trying to reach, but then, you know, question is, you know, are the results that you're getting back truly accurate?
Yeah.
Whereas digital, you're obviously able to be more intentional, right?
Mm.
And actually, you know, really spend your money where you'll get, I guess, the best return.
Yeah.
You know. So absolutely. I think from my side, that's digital. So I'll stick with TikTok.
That makes absolute sense. Clearly, I don't know how to play games because this was supposed to be rapid fire, quick. Here I am asking follow-up questions. Oh, I'm sorry, nah, guys.
I won't even blame you for that. I think we just didn't we didn't comply to the brief. We're terrible.
I'm the one that threw the whole game off. But let's get into the interview. Gents, before the decks, before the clients, I would love for you to take me back. Before you were leading this agency, building brands and managing teams, what were the first signs that this is the world that you would shape? Was it perhaps childhood obsessions or campus side hustles? And I'd love to hear from the both of you on this. Let's start with Tish again.
Okay, cool. Wow. So on my side, it was photo. And I'd say it started with my mother.
Oh.
So when I was probably estimated around 6-7, one of the things she always used to emphasize when she was driving me to school was that you need to go to school, get an education, do primary, do high school, go to varsity, get a job, and after a few years of working, you need to start your own thing. Mm. So she kind of planted that seed in me when I was super young, and yeah, she just reinforced it over the years.
And she didn't mind if the thing you went to school for was in the creative industry?
No, she didn't mind.
Oh, that's very progressive.
Yeah. So, I mean, she had run a couple of businesses on her side. So she really didn't mind. It was just as long as I started something.
Yeah. And what landed you here?
Passion, I guess.
Yeah.
So I like the balance that comes with the advertising and marketing industry.
Yeah.
You know, you get a fair amount of time in office, and depending on the type of campaigns and events that you're working on, you also get a fair amount of time outside of the office.
Yeah.
Traveling as well. I've managed to travel across most of the countries in the SADC region and across other African countries in West Africa and East Africa. So I love it.
Oh, that's lovely. Thabo, what about you? Was it a childhood obsession for you as well?
Well, I think for me, it all started at varsity.
Mm.
So I went to UPE, Nelson Mandela University, and the plan was to become a chartered accountant.
Yeah.
And I think after first year, that's when I realized that.
No, man.
Yeah, no. Accounting is definitely. I'm barking up the wrong tree.
I was about to say, because accounting is so left brain dominant, and the agency is right brain, chalk and cheese.
Absolutely. And so what happened after first year? You know, actually, during registration, I think my second year, I called my dad and I was like, "Pops, you know, do you?" I'll be really honest, I'm not really seeing myself, you know, going through with BCom accounting. I think marketing is where I need to be. And my dad was like, you know what, I couldn't agree with you more. So that, you know, I switched courses, you know, not to say that the bite for, or rather, you know, the vision of running an agency came from that, but it was more, you know, participating in, I guess, being a promoter for various promoter agencies that used to come on campus at the time.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, you know, look for student promoters. So this one particular agency that I used to work with, and you know, I worked with them so much that it got to a point where they actually appointed me as their on-campus ambassador. So in essence, every time they had a promotion, they'd call me and I'd have to put a team of promoters together to run an activation.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, I was still at varsity at the time, you know. So I guess the whole thing started there, you know, just sort of, you know, obviously running with promotional teams, paying them and, you know, scheduling their hours, etc. But then, I, you know, even at the time, it probably didn't click, because then after I finished my degree, you know, I then sort of pursued a career with British American Tobacco. You know, and you know, I suppose, you know, as a sales rep, moving on to becoming a brand executive and then leaving BAT, you know, that's when, you know, I guess I sort of stuck to, you know, being a marketer. The passion certainly bit by then. And then I figured, you know what, you know, there's certainly a lot more to this. And a couple of years down the line, you know, we started RV Gordon. You know, I think there's certainly an interesting story around that, but
please.
I think Titch will probably kickstart that story.
Okay, Titch, let's hear it, please. And just for context, maybe because I think I know more about you guys than the audience does. Titch is actually the managing director of the group. Apparently, they call him Mr. K. So I don't know if I've got the liberty to call him that as well. And Thabo is the CEO. And apparently he goes by Malume. So I'm just going to be that person who's forward and is going to call you Mr. K and Malume. The audience will just have to catch up. So Mr. K, let's hear that story.
That's perfectly fine.
Okay.
In other circles, so normally when we're together, they actually call us TNT.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
So, but yeah, Mr. K is also good.
Okay.
The story of when on of how we started.
Yeah.
Hectic. And I'm trying to see where to start it from.
That's always the case with these brand stories.
Sorry?
That's always the case with these brand stories. So much happens.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So much. So much. So I'll start with the passion with regards to Africa. So in our previous lives, I actually worked with Thabo, and he was actually my client.
No.
Yeah. So and we actually did a bit of work outside of SA, and we kind of shared a passion in terms of just doing just African markets.
Yeah.
Right. Fast forward a couple of years, I think it was two or so, but if I'm not mistaken, I leave agency. Thabo leaves corporate on his side, and we link up again, and we just start sharing in terms of cool, you know, African markets, the work we've done before, and as we're sitting and having a bit.
You've muted yourself there, Mr. K.
Oh, am I back?
Yes, you're back.
Okay, cool. Sorry about that. I was saying, so we're catching up and we're having a beer and we're like, geez, how's about we start an agency? And it was super ironic that we're having the conversation at that stage, because on Thabo's side, he had done a bit of brainstorming around the type of agency that he wanted to set up and the name. And on my side, I'd also done the same. So we kind of started sharing notes. We're like, geez, 100% aligned, something we'd like to do, would like to focus it on African markets, and just kind of bring a different touch to the work that happens across the other countries outside of South Africa. That is. And as we were sitting there, we started brainstorming a name, and Thabo being the creator that he is, he's the one who came up with the name RV Gordon. And it was weird. So he says it. I listen to him. I look at him for a few minutes. I'm like, geez, that's a good name.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's the one. That's the one. And yeah, from there, it's history. I think 2 days later, we set up the company and we literally just got the ball rolling from there.
I love that. And what is the context of RV Gordon?
T, I'll let you have a go here.
So Alvi Gordon is actually grandparents, grandmother Alvina, and then Gordon grandfather. And I guess, obviously there's a lot of sentimental, you know, value that comes with it. But also it has global appeal. You know, I think the intention, you know, of us starting the agency, to Titch's point, I mean, there was a mutual
I guess, passion for the African markets, because we've done a lot of work, within SADC in particular.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, the collaboration was so strong, it only made sense, for us to sort of, I guess, veer off on our own and actually, you know, do more meaningful work.
Mm.
At times when you're within, when you're on the other side, you don't necessarily have, you know, I guess, the liberty to, you know, to sort of, you know, do the work that you want to do.
Yeah.
You know, and then work that is related to, I guess, solving problems and actually truly and meaningfully connecting with the local, the locals of the countries that we rolled out these campaigns with.
Yeah. And I do want to take it to the early days, right? Because I can imagine that building an agency is hard. Now let's talk about the days when the phone wasn't ringing. What was the scariest moment in those early days that made you question whether this thing was even going to work?
Should I go?
Yeah.
My goodness. I think you know, one of the things that we're really, really grateful for is obviously the relationships that we had in the industry. You know, so we certainly leveraged a lot on that. So the previous company that I worked for, or the previous brand that I worked for, which was KFC, I don't know if I'm allowed to actually mention this on air.
Yeah, maybe they'll give us wings.
But yeah. That's true. So you know, we kind of went back knocking on the door.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously showcasing ourselves. And I mean, obviously, you know, given the fact that we have no credentials whatsoever, you know, backing us apart from, you know, our individual experiences within, you know, our past careers.
Yeah.
You know, the guys sort of were gracious enough to give us, you know, small pieces of work just to trial us out, you know. I must say there was a lot of work and very little revenue generated at the time. You know, but I guess it's the name of the game.
Mm.
You know, I mean, if the passion is there, if the belief is there, you know, that we're certainly on the right path to building something great.
Mm.
You know, I guess it was a risk that we're willing to take.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of sleepless nights on very tiny projects, you know, that generated very little revenue. But I guess it all makes sense at the end of the day, you know.
Yeah.
It obviously all counts towards the bigger picture.
Yeah, we all pay our dues.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And Sitch, I do want to hear from you about the first big break. What was the campaign or the moments that shifted everything? And you sort of told yourself, you know what? We're actually in the game now.
Jeez, first big break.
Yeah.
It's hard to pinpoint that one because a lot of them. So maybe let me give this context as well, just to add to what Tavu just touched on now. So one of the things that we've kind of always done from day one is to kind of always put God first.
Yeah.
So we've got this culture that we have in the business where every day when we meet up in the morning with the team, we huddle up in what we call stand up.
Mm.
And we pray. So we pretty much share Bible verses, life experiences, whatever challenges team members are going through. We pray for each other, we pray for the business, and then we get our days rolling from there.
Mm.
So it's something we've always done from day one, which is now nine years in the running.
Mm.
And as a result, I mean, we've always trusted in God.
Mm.
And the reason I'm calling that out is, you know, and even from day one, you know, with all the clients that have trusted in us and have given us an opportunity, you know, we've always been super grateful and thankful to God that, you know, they kind of gave us those opportunities.
Yeah.
You know, and we've been quite fortunate to work with a lot of big brands, and do some amazing work for them as well. And again, we all give thanks to God for that. So in terms of trying to pinpoint a big break. It's slightly difficult because
all of them are big breaks.
I'd say when we started off working with KFC, Fastenal was a big break.
Mm.
You know, we got to work with BP.
Mm.
Big break there. You know, properly saw God's hand at work.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, we've had the opportunity to work with brands like your PepsiCo's with the likes of Simba and Doritos across the different African markets. You know, so it's always been incremental. You know, and every big brand we've managed to work with and every opportunity we've managed to get, you know, it's always kind of reinforced our faith.
And
just kind of kept us going.
And while I still have you here, now that you mentioned all those brands, what does a good creative strategy actually look like, especially for African brands, right? Are there things we're still getting wrong when it comes to telling our own stories?
I'll let Tabo answer that.
Thanks for that, Tim. So Bumi, you know what? The question is, what is a great creative strategy?
Yeah.
Okay, so in essence, with us, we obviously noticed the gap in the market, right? And we noticed that very, very gap, particularly within the the SADC markets that we operated in.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So now I'm referencing in particular Namibia, Botswana, Lesotho, Mozambique, Swaziland.
Mm.
So when we built this business, and just for context, and I think we didn't really delve into that. So when we say we're passionate about Africa, we actually started this business in Namibia. So
Aldi
Gold in Namibia was the very first business that we registered, right? We then moved on to registering, and T, please feel free to jump in here. We then moved on to registering LV Gold in Botswana. We registered LV Gold in Mozambique, Swaziland. And then I think the last one was actually South Africa.
Mm.
You know, and the reason why we did that, and this is the biggest pain point that I had certainly as I guess as a marketing manager looking after SADC, was the fact that, you know, I'm working on one brand, and I'm working with multiple agencies, I'm working with, you know, I don't wanna make mention of our competitor agencies, but you know, I'm working with a particular agency that has different units within these countries, but the quality of work and the strategic insight that I'm getting, even though we're dealing with local teams, there's certainly a difference in quality, right? And just the richness of the insights that we're getting, right?
Yeah.
And in many cases, we actually couldn't crack it, you know.
Wow.
So with myself having a strategy background, I also lectured at Vega. Just as an FYI, I lecture brand strategic communication. So having that experience as well. So, you know, there was a much, I guess, broader interest of, scaling and, building a local team that would have the capability to actually provide the insights that we really needed in order to penetrate this gap. Which is exactly what we did.
Mm.
Yeah, that's exactly what we did. So I mean, in terms of what determines a great strategy, in my opinion, I would really say, you know, it obviously has to, there needs to be resonance. There needs to be meaningful resonance, just in terms of the locals, a market that we're obviously servicing.
Yeah.
And it also has to align with, you know, I guess the brand culture. Many a time campaigns can be sort of force fitted. And you can almost see that it doesn't necessarily resonate with that particular market. There's a lot of copy and paste that goes on. So certainly from our side, you know, we really try to localize. I mean, with a global brand, you know, they would call it localizing, right? But in essence, certainly in a way that resonates
with our local target audience.
Yeah. And speaking of copying and pasting, how do you actually maintain originality and authenticity in an era, especially where trends move so fast and AI is remixing everything?
Well, I mean, you know what? I mean, I think certainly one would have to, number one, you have to make sure that you're entrenched
for sure
within the local culture,
for
right?
Sure.
But also, you can't ignore AI.
No.
At all. I mean, you know, it certainly has enabled us to work a lot more efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, however, you know, the one thing that it's unable to do is obviously give you the rich intel, right? The rich insights, you know, of local communities and as well as the target audiences.
Yeah.
So in essence, you know, you certainly have to utilize your own human ingenuity, you know, I guess in collaboration with AI to, in inverted commas, expedite the process or rather refine the process, you know. You know, and I suppose, you know, you can certainly use that to leverage, or rather use it as leverage, you know, again, to refine the process.
Oh, 100%. And Titch, being a Black-owned agency with Pan-African ambition, what are the unique challenges and opportunities that you come across, and what would you tell other young Black creatives who are building something of their own in the space?
Challenges, Black agency. So I'd say it's changed over the years. I mean, when we started off, the industry is very different. The landscape was very different. If I look at South Africa, for example, there weren't as many Black agencies as there are now, you know, and I think quite a few of the big ones kind of sprouted in and around that time as well. So back then it was a challenge in and around breaking into the market and the big clients,
you know,
because just the way it was set up.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm obviously saying it, taking into account staying politically true with my terms. but the thing is, looking at it now, the challenge is a lot bigger. You know, the teams are a lot more diverse now, you know, and so some of the barriers that used to be there previously aren't there anymore. You know, but one thing that I mean, just in and around some of the people that we chat to in the industry, not only from a marketing agency perspective, but just across other businesses as well.
Yeah.
One of the key barriers in and around that is financing. You'll find that a lot of talented people, a lot of talented business people, great minds, you know, have very good ideas around how to position their business. And how to fulfill a gap in the market, and then finance and funding then becomes a big thing.
Got it. So how I'll ask the next questions is I'll ask the entire set to Thabo first, and then teach the next set to you, and then we'll wrap the conversation up. Is that cool?
Okay. Cool.
All right, Thabo. So, and I don't want you to share IP and company intel and insider information, but what defines an Alvy Gordon campaign? What are the non-negotiables when you're building strategy for an African audience?
So I'd like to say, you know, we are a business consultant disguised as an advertising agent.
Oh, I love that. Tell us more.
So what I mean by that is that, you know, the most important thing, I mean, obviously working with client campaigns, it all starts off with a brief. Now before we even go briefed, you know, it all starts off with a business challenge. Right? And obviously the marketing team within, you know, will then, you know, sort of work out their strategies in terms of how to go about in solving those challenges,
yeah,
right,
And then they would rope us in as agencies, you know, to then, in the form of a brief, to then, you know, address those challenges and come up with creative strategies, you know, to sort of overcome or eradicate those challenges completely.
That's so interesting. What type of challenges would they come to you for? Because I would imagine that if I'm not having sales, I'd be like, okay, maybe we need a marketing agency to help us with sales. So what are these other challenges perhaps that you sort of navigate using marketing, but essentially that wasn't the challenge they came with to begin with?
Look, I mean, it could be various things, right? It could be, I mean, to your point, you said sales. You know, it could be, you know, the fact that the brand has not necessarily been able to position itself within that market.
Yeah.
Right? They may have cracked it in the context of South Africa, given a lot of brands have been here for a very long time. But when stepping out, you know, the borders of SA, you know, obviously the playing fields are somewhat different, you know. I mean, it could be, it also could be supply chain challenges where, you know, markets that are very close to South Africa, we're talking neighboring countries.
Yeah.
There's a lot of ad spillage. So South Africa launches a product you know, neighboring countries sort of have access to that, right?
Yeah.
Through the ads that they see on TV. However, you know, those products won't necessarily be launched within that country. You know, so how do we then sort of differentiate, you know, sort of the two, just in terms of a brand that operates in South Africa as well as in Namibia, for example, even though it's the same brand, but also faces different challenges from a country point of view.
Yeah.
You know, so I suppose where we come in, I mean, we draw those insights just to understand, you know, critically, just from a socioeconomic point of view. So it's not always just only about the bells and whistles. But I mean, you have to, you know, really, really delve deep in terms of understanding, you know, political, you know, sort of the lay of the land, and, you know, understand the supply chain complexities, you know, obviously together with understanding, or rather having an entrenched understanding of, you know, consumer, you know, your consumer insights, you know, and that of itself, you know, you can't necessarily, you know, sort of paint one brush, or rather, you know, have one blanket approach. You have to factor in, you know, the different consumer clusters, right, within those markets as well. And then from there, you know, once you have that understanding, then you sort of draw your insights.
Yeah.
Right. And many a time, a lot of the insights that we actually draw are very much anecdotal. You literally have to spend time in the market, you know, with the target audience, just to have that better understanding. And I think obviously, you know, you mix that within, you know, the passion that you have for marketing, the passion that you have for, you know, solving client problems. I think that's alone as an ingredient of developing a great strategy.
And that's the back end that you see, Thabo. What would I need to see in a campaign, or what would I be seeing in a campaign to say, ah, you know what, Alvi Gordon passed here. There's no other agency but Alvi that could produce this. What is your watermark?
Oh, our watermark as an agency. My goodness. You know what? I think we've really, really done well. Just in terms of, you know, I guess really, really focusing our campaigns, and I mean, you know, I'm now thinking back on all the campaigns, or most of the campaigns that we have done.
Yeah.
I mean, they certainly have had a focus on the local market, and actually sort of, you know, speaking to them in a way that they understand.
Yeah.
Right. So I mean,
you know, in the context of Namibia, for instance, you know, Oshivambu is the most spoken language, and obviously we'll try and integrate and incorporate, you know, the language,
mm-hmm.
right? Certainly get that right, and then, you know, in a way then speak to them in a way that they understand.
Mm.
So certainly from a, I guess from our value proposition or what differentiates Alfie Gordon, certainly, you know, I would say, yeah, it definitely has to do with the local blueprint, you know, just resonating with our target audience from that standpoint.
I love that. And tell me something. How do you keep creativity high and egos low in a room full of very smart people?
T, do you want to take that? You humbled yourself, eh? Like, I think that's the first answer that comes to mind, but T, I'll let you go for it.
Okay, I'll go for it. I'd say just starting by being humble, but mainly from the top. So, I mean, I've been in, I'll talk about Thabo here. I've been in business with Thabo for a couple of years, and one thing that I'm always in awe of is the fact that, you know, he might be the CEO, but he's always humble,
yeah.
You know, and down to earth. You know, it doesn't matter who he's talking to. It might be an intern who's just joined the business, or it might be a senior strategist or creative. He engages in the same way. You know, and what we've seen just internally within the agency, but even in some of the boardrooms that we get into, carrying that senior title, you know, if you are humble and you showcase yourself as being down to earth, 90% of the time it drops off.
That's true.
It drops off, you know.
Yeah.
You've
muted yourself again, Leti.
Sorry, okay, there we go. Now, saying, I mean, we've been in some boardrooms where, you know, you walk in and people are trying to throw their weight.
Of course.
And that's when you then have, you know, that clashing personalities with smart people, you know. But if from a leadership perspective, if the leadership team is just being humble and down to earth, it normally rubs off to everybody else.
Yeah. And, you know, SA, and I can even dare say Africa, has a rich creative industry. What do you think is still holding us back from taking up more space on the global stage?
I want to say budget. I'll call it out in this sense. So if you look at campaigns that are run in South Africa, for example, you know, a lot of those campaigns have big budgets, you know, and even when you're looking at the big brands, from a South Africa perspective, and then you go to other African markets and look at the big brands there, you know, and I'll use an example here. Let's say if you compare MTN and SA and you compare it to Econet and Zim, for example, or MTC and Namibia, you know, just from a budget spend between those brands in those countries, miles apart. And what we then find is, because there's a lot more budget in SA, it allows agencies in South Africa to be a lot more creative, you know, and that creative freedom that we're talking about, you know, creators are then given the liberty to literally just, you know, stamp their creativity on the campaigns. You know, so I'd certainly say budget and spend across the other African countries is definitely a barrier there.
And what is that a factor of? Is it being less informed about the value of marketing, or is it just the economic climate in those countries?
I'd say less informed. And Thabo touched on it briefly when he was touching on expertise in the other countries.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that we try to do as an agency on our side, with the team members across the different countries, is to try expose them to work in the other countries as much as possible. You know, and I'll give you an example there. Let's say I'll say like a senior account manager in the industry, right, in South Africa. By the time they've done their, I'd say 5 to 6 years in the industry, the amount of campaigns that have worked on, or creative campaigns that have worked on in South Africa will probably be double the amount of creative campaigns a senior account manager would have worked on in the other countries.
Yeah.
You know? And so what you then find is in those countries, the creativity or the work that you get, and I'm not saying, you know, there isn't creativity, it's definitely there, you know, but just the exposure then is very different. You know, I mean, there's some brands where they go and they spend millions, and when you then look at the quality of work, it's not necessarily.
Yeah.
You know, so based off that, a lot of the brands there then tend to, they're not, they don't allow agencies to then kind of go pretty much be free in terms of what they do, and then that's where you kind of see the barrier.
Maybe if I can add on to that.
Sure.
Yeah, so go for it.
So I mean, you know, there's a lot of, I mean, you know, I'll call it what it is, right? So there's a lot of what we call procurement bias and perceived risk, right? So where you find many multinational brands who default to sort of safe bet agencies that are headquartered in New York or London or Amsterdam or whatever the case is, which obviously, you know, then makes it very difficult for, you know, African agencies to actually break through.
Yeah.
Although, you know, there are some agencies that have managed to sort of overcome those challenges. And you know, I would certainly give it to them. They're certainly doing well from that front, right? And then also, there's a lack of scalable infrastructure. So, you know, global clients expecting sort of seamless multi-market delivery, you know, like I said, I mean, you know, obviously Africa is not a country. So therefore, you know, they would expect their brand to be implemented in the same manner across every single African country. And that certainly doesn't work. And again, you know, they obviously turn to the agencies that, you know, they have close proximity to, that are already headquartered, right, within those global markets. So it certainly does make the playing field, you know, somewhat, you know, I wouldn't say unfair, but it makes them very challenging for an African agency to actually break through. Not to say it's impossible. It certainly isn't impossible. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, independent agencies within South Africa that are actually building their network. I mean, you know, the likes of ourselves, LV Gordon, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we've built from scratch, and we're building this multinational agency with the goal of expanding our footprint into the African market and then taking over the global stage from that point of view. So that's the strategy that we've implemented on our side, or that we are currently implementing on our side.
Yeah. I've got one last question, but I'll split it between the two of you, and I'm still trying to decide who to give A and who to give B to. Tabo, I think I'll ask you, what excites you most about African audiences right now? And I know Africa's not a country, but Africans are Africans. What excites you? What excites you the most about us as an audience right now?
Bumi, you know what? It's just so much.
Yeah.
I think first and foremost, just the diversity. I mean, yes, there's a lot of diversity, but also within that, there's a lot of similarity.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, you go to Kenya, for instance. It just really excites me to hear words in Swahili that I understand without anybody actually even telling me what they mean.
Yeah.
You know, because they are so, you know, I guess, familiar. All right. Well, Nakemosoto, so. So, I mean, when you hear words like koko, you know, there's just a lot of similarities with African consumers. And I mean, I guess it's that dynamic that really, really excites me, right?
Yeah.
You know, the fact that, you know, yes, as much as you're focused on a very diverse audience, but certainly, you know, if you look very, very closely, there's more similarities than differences that one can actually pick up.
you know. So certainly that really, really excites me. And obviously just working on strategies that I guess address those similarities and you know, leverage on those similarities.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess ultimately what that happens is that it brings people together, right?
For sure.
So so certainly for me that's the one most exciting thing with working with you know, African consumers.
Yeah, that is very exciting. And Mr. MD, Mr. K, I will round up our conversation by asking you, what is Africa and African audiences craving that you guys, you advertisers, haven't fully delivered on yet?
That we haven't fully delivered on yet? I'd say telling the stories. Africa's got a lot of different African countries have a lot of rich stories, you know, stories that speak to different tribes, stories that speak to different cultures, stories that speak to different consumers, and how those stories influence consumers' purchasing patterns across those different countries. You know, I don't think, you know, we not only us but other agencies as well in the space, you know, are certainly doing a lot more. But I think there's definitely a lot more that needs to be done.
Yeah.
In terms of telling those stories.
Who is Alvy Gordon not for?
Do you want to go? Or should I go?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think certainly Alvy Gordon is for a diverse audience. I think you know, and that's how we position ourselves. You know, as much as we talk about you know, our passion for Africa, you know, uplifting the Africa, it's more uplifting the human spirit.
Yeah.
You know, so certainly that's, I guess that's one of our positioning statements. And honestly, it touches on everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I think humility is certainly what has gotten us to where we are. You know, certainly is one of our key values, and therefore on that part, I think certainly, you know, a broader audience, and you know, Alvy Gordon really appeals to a much, much broader audience.
I'm going to break your brains a bit.
Can I add to that?
Sure. And as you wrap up, you're going to be the last one that speaks. As you wrap up, I want to hear from you guys. Humility. I don't even want to say humility aside, but in all humility, what is the best compliment you've ever gotten from a client? Please toot your own horn. Or tell me and I'll toot it for you. What was the best compliment?
So we're doing a campaign in one of the African countries.
Mm.
And we kind of brought the team together. So pretty much during this campaign, it was 11-day campaign. So every morning we pray, and then every evening at the end of the activation day, that is, would kind of pull the team together and would pray. So one of the days, a client kind of saw us doing it and they requested to join us. Like, mm-hmm. Also, like, we tend to not want to impose ourselves on people, you know. So they came, they joined us, and afterwards, one of the best compliments there was the fact that, you know, they were impressed with the fact that we did that every day.
Mm. You know?
And for me, it was a thing around, you know, this is years down the line, you know, it's something that we started off when it was just Tab and I, and now we're here, we're praying with our Alvy Gordon team,
with
some of our suppliers and partners, but also having clients be a part of that. You know, that was certainly amazing.
And what was that thing you wanted to add that I cut you off from? So sorry.
No worries. Go for it.
I think you wanted to say something and I asked you a question instead.
Tabo? What, it's me or Tabo?
You, Tej.
It was aligned to us.
Okay. All right. There's so much more I wanted to ask you guys, but we're out of time. But I cannot stop this conversation before I just let you know that your journey is actually so exciting. And it sounds to me like you guys have built a reason for people to believe in African creativity again. And I know, Thabo, you said you are consultants disguised as marketers. I think what you actually are an agency that has given us a reason to believe that Africa is creative, Africa is genius, and Africa belongs to all of us. You've given brands, or you are giving brands, a language, you're giving them a posture, you're giving brands a presence, and I'm so happy because tonight you gave us a peek into that genius. I was sitting here thinking, geez, these guys are smart. Like I was hoping to hear, yeah, and then we use this person and we use that color. No, 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 no. You were talking data. You were talking market context. And I'm like, okay. This is a different ball game. So I'm so glad to have spoken to you guys. And I hope that every listener at home, who's actually dreaming of building something that is bold, something that is black, and something that is brilliant, that this conversation reminded them that they don't need permission. All they need is purpose. All they need are the right people and the guts to start, because that's exactly how you guys went about this. This is so amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us.
Parting shots, where do people find you? Is there a campaign you can reference for us to go look at and marvel at your genius?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we have a lot of our case studies on our website.
Yeah.
That is www.rvgordon.com.
Mm-hmm.
So certainly we've showcased some of our work there. And, you know, obviously your listeners can also get a peek of who the clients that we work with are. And certainly, you know, I think they'll be excited from that standpoint. You know, one thing that we've certainly done is that we told ourselves from the very beginning that we'll punch amongst the best.
Mm.
And certainly not fear going against the big clients.
Yeah.
You know, against the big agencies. Yeah.
Amazing work. Thank you so much, gents. We will chat again very soon. I won't say in which capacity though, but very soon.
looking forward to that.
Have a lovely evening.
All right. Likewise. Thank you so much.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.